Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're emphasizing the fact today that our nation is in trouble. We're at the crossroads, and what we as Christians, as pastors, as churches, as conservatives and patriots, what we do will make a difference in the direction of our nation. We can't afford to just sit. We can't remain in silence. We can't hide under the bed. We can't hide in the closet, as most pastors have done for the past year. We need to take a stand. We need to be vigilant. We need to be heard. We need to be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden cabal is now on the fast track to bring all religious liberties and freedom of speech absolutely to a screeching halt, to eviscerate our Bill of Rights. I believe we have John on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, first off, I want to commend you as being a pastor of a church and speaking out openly as far as what's going on. I have some other Christian friends that I've told them that they needed to plug in and listen to you and question why are not other pastors speaking out. And they said that the government doesn't allow it because it's a 501c. I would like your comment on that. And thank you very much for what you're doing.
Brother, thank you so much for your compliments and your statements. Let me just address that very quickly. 501c3 is a farce as far as saying that that law prevents it. 1954, Lyndon Baines Johnson, as a senator at the time, added a rider to a transportation bill. And that rider basically was enforced then for years and years and years by the IRS that said in general that churches, pastors from the pulpit, cannot address political issues, cannot endorse a candidate, cannot speak of pro or con for any of the candidates. That was on the books for many, many years. May of 2017, Donald J. Trump nullified that by an executive order. But howbeit, even all of the years that it was in full force, the IRS never, ever prosecuted a single church in the United States of America for violating that so-called 501c3 law, because it is unconstitutional, has always been. In fact, in the early 2000s, late 90s and early 2000s, the Alliance Defending Freedom engaged several hundred pastors. In fact, I believe it started out with about 50 pastors and then following year about 1,500, got to about 6,500 pastors, that every September we would preach what would be called a political message. It will be recorded, transcribed, and sent to Alliance Defending Freedom. They would put them in huge truckloads and deliver them to the front door of IRS by FedEx and say, come and get us, trying to get that in court because it would not hold muster in the U.S. Supreme Court. You cannot do that, pass any legislative act like that that will change, modify, or eviscerate the Bill of Rights. They're trying to do that now. And this is the reason I'm saying that we cannot be silent. But to answer your question explicitly, it's because the spineless pastors wanted to have an excuse not to preach the full truth of the Word of God without fear and without favor, because they're fearful that they might have a liberal out in the congregation that's putting $2 a week in as a tithe or as an offering. They're afraid they'll run them off. Somebody said on one occasion, preach, if you keep preaching like you are, you're going to run somebody off. Where are you going to run them to? Hell number two? Hell number three? We need to take a stand, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, and in particular as pastors, take a stand for the truth of the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, we find that God created the home, God created the government, and God created the church, and in that order. So anything we speak about would be biblical. Perhaps you recall back in just a few years ago in Houston, Texas, the lesbian sodomite mayor of Houston, Texas, put out an edict that all pastors had to send transcriptions of their pulpit messages into the city office for them to be examined to see if any of the pastors were preaching against the sodomite lifestyle because she was a lesbian. That was taken to court, and she was absolutely eviscerated as a result of trying to enforce that. You cannot enforce that, ladies and gentlemen, and yet we're finding that we're on the fast track for that to become federalized on a national level through the Equality Act that will literally shut up, silence every church, every pastor, every Christian organization in America. And my hope would be, my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, if this passes, and it looks like that it will, if this passes, I'm prayerful that it will immediately have enough churches that will have enough backbone to file suit against the federal government and immediately fast-track it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's my prayer that the Supreme Court will grow a spine and that we'll have some of those so-called conservatives that will take a stand and absolutely nullify any such law once this is passed. Because it is egregious that you would think that somehow, some way, with those God haters in the Beltway in Washington, some on the Republican side as well as all on the Democratic. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said for years and years and years, it's an impossibility for any person to say, I'm a Christian, and to yet vote on the Democratic ticket, where you're going to have sodomy as a lifestyle that's approved and embraced by your vote, where you're going to have murder by way of abortion embraced by your vote, where you're going to have every lifestyle that's antithetical to the truth of the Word of God embraced by your vote, and to say, I'm a Christian and I vote Democrat. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Democrat listening to me today and you voted for Joe Biden, I want you to call me and tell me why. Tell me what he's done for you. Tell me how it has been beneficial in doing so. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, we can't sit in silence. We cannot sit in silence. In fact, here's an article by Cal Thomas. Cal Thomas says, shame on Christians who voted for Joe Biden and his radical pro-abortion agenda. It's dated March the 11th. In the 2020 elections, they called themselves pro-evangelicals for Biden. Their members included a lady that last name is Duford, D-U-F-O-R-D, Jeshura, I believe she called her, Duford, the granddaughter of the late Reverend Billy Graham. The group acknowledged that while Biden did not support their primary issues, that the protection of unborn life, that he was more consistent with their biblically shaped ethics of life than was Donald Trump. I'll let that sink in for a while. After observing Biden for less than 2 months in office, the group issued a statement. It said, evangelicals and Catholics feel used and feel betrayed by Joe Biden, end quote, especially as it relates to the president's recently stated opposition to the Hyde Amendment, which Biden supported for years, which prevents taxpayer funding for abortion. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, a socially conservative organization based in Washington, issued his own statement, quote, they can't say, speaking of these now that were the evangelicals for Biden, they can't say that they weren't warned. Everyone in America knew where Joe Biden stood on abortion because he told them in 13 debates, multiple campaign ads, and a Planned Parenthood town hall, no one had any doubt that it's that if the man won the White House, his folksy faith talk would take a backseat to his political deal with the far-left extremist. If evangelicals for Biden want to say they never saw COVID bill and its abortion funding coming, they weren't the only ones that didn't see it, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't be silent. What can we do? What should we do? I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line with us today. Pastor Davis, I hope you're doing well.
I am very blessed, Dr. Youngblood, and I'm certainly appreciative of what you're saying today on the air.
By the way, congratulations on your 35th anniversary.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that a lot. Amen. I love my wife, amen, who's here with me right now. And we are celebrating the years that God has blessed us to be together, and I'm certainly grateful for that.
Well, hug her for all of us, and congratulations again on that 35 years. Those of us, it's 35 years, and ours are now, I think my bride's put up with me for some 59 years, and she's still just 19. But for those in that category, we're few and far between, I believe.
Amen, amen, amen. But, you know, I would just love to say, Dr. Youngblood, myself, my righteous anger has reached precarious levels, you know, in the last couple of months, especially since this straw horse of a president that we have sitting in the seat in Washington right now, that's totally incapable of being, you know, a leader. I just can't understand how Christians could have, cast a vote for a person like that. That's not only him, but all the others that are supporting him and that are putting things out in society to make it look like they're in favor of making the world better when they're actually pulling everything apart. All of our rights, everything that this country has been built upon, they're totally destroying that. And Christians need to understand that there's nothing good in what they're doing and saying that's going to benefit us together as a whole. We don't need to take a stand for people that's not going to help us. Now, I was reading in the book of James chapter 2 and starting at verse 7. Brother James gave a warning to people about favoritism. And I think that's what we have done. We have compromised. We have shown favoritism towards people like that, or simply because they have promised us something free in return. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. They're looking for that that free check that's supposed to be coming, the $1,400 and that kind of stuff like that. But listen, you know, after the money is gone, then what are you going to have left? I mean, we have to realize it's a serious issue that we're facing on today. But James said in chapter 2, verse 7, "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" Dr. Youngblood, if they are doing things against God, then Christians need to know, if they don't like God, then they don't like us. So we need to take a stand. We need to stand together as never before. Stand on the word of God. I'm wondering how much more can they take? I mean, as you just got through saying about the evangelists now that have supported him, and now they are realizing that they have been deceived. If we don't hurry up and wake up, everything that we stand for is going to be totally gone. And then we're just going to be like a bunch of puppets. Just every time they pull our string, we're going to have to respond to what they're telling us to do. So we really need to take a stand on today, stand on the word of God, and allow God to work things out for us and let us be whatever he has called us to be.
Amen, brother. You're exactly right. So I say that resoundingly, as you have said, and I compliment you for that position because it's exactly right. We need to stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God and understand that God's word has the final authority, the final say-so. And yet we somehow, some way, believe that government can take care of us rather than allowing God to do that. And this is the reason I so appreciate what General Flynn said, retired General Michael Flynn. Let me read for you while you're still on the line with us, and some of our listeners need to hear this. This says, "The things that I've learned when the deep state came after me and my family. You don't have to have much water to watch the news long to see America is rapidly changing. The downward slide can be found not only in the leadership, but also in the shifting definitions of right and wrong blindly accepted by many Americans. Our leaders would have us to believe that these changing values are inevitable and that they're good. That is why they're called progressives. Yet to those of us who still believe in the immortal truths upon which America was founded, their so-called progress is alarming to say the least. Sadly, some will allow the alarm to grow into defeatism. They will turn their faces away from the battle before us in hope of finding a position of retreat. To those who prefer retreat or surrender rather than the fight, I ask you one simple question. If America falls, where will we go?" And he goes through the different stratus of that. Finally, in his article, he says, "When fighting for truth, the most important place to start is to be well-grounded in the truth itself. I'm referring to truth with a capital T," he said. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the truth. Faith in God is an essential part of the fight to restore Americans' greatness. Our personal faith is inextricably linked to our personal liberties. Faith and freedom can never be separated one from the other. If you wish to have boldness in the fight for America, like our founding fathers did, have faith in Almighty God. Trust in His power as your sword and as your shield. And I think that is befitting for all of us today to understand and to say that, as you've said, Pastor, that we need to take the stand on the truth of the Word of God and not allow this to just bowl us over and to destroy our liberties. Pastor, thank
Amen.
You so
well,
much
you know,
for taking
Dr. Youngblood, let me say one more other thing. One of the most dangerous things I have encountered since being in the ministry myself, being in the church for better than 36 years now, right at it, is compromise. You know, we are compromising with just a little bit too much. I mean, I understand that, you know, we're all human beings and we feel like we have a life, but our Bible tells us our citizenship is not here. We're
right.
just pilgrims and strangers passing through. Amen. But even while we are here, God promised to take care of us. So for that reason, then we ought to stand on the word of God and trust in God to take care of us, even if we have to take a serious stand, just like Peter and the guys did in the book of Acts when they were caught out there preaching and they threw them in jail. They asked him, who told you to preach in this name? Didn't we tell you not to preach in this name? And they turned around and answered them, we ought to obey God rather than men. That ought to be our stance right now on today, Dr. Youngblood. And I'm
that ought to be the stand, Pastor. We need to have pastors that will take that kind of stand. In fact, here
Amen.
Is a statement that I believe that would tie into what you're saying. In Titus chapter 1, verse 8, the Apostle Paul had told Titus to appoint pastors on the island of Crete. And he says, for those that will hold fast the faithful word that he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort, that means to confront, and convict the false teachers. And that's what we
Amen.
Ought to do today.
Amen.
We need pastors Amen. That will stand, that will hold fast on that which is sound doctrine, and to confront and to convict those that are teaching against it and trying to undermine, tear down, and destroy it. So, Pastor,
Amen.
You're exactly right. I pray that you have a blessed day today with your bride and have a great time. And keep on looking up, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining
Amen.
Us today on this broadcast.
Amen. Thank you
Ladies,
so much.
Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
And God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about it is time to stop being silent. We need to take a stand. We need to speak up, be heard, and be seen, and stop the silence that is so deafening and is so dangerous to our life and our living today. I believe we have Abby on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. Along the same line, I heard someone talking the other day, and they said, when you believe in the truth and you stand for the truth, you cannot compromise the truth. And, you know, you and I have both understood how we have not participated in covering our ability to breathe by these crazy masks. And what the lady was saying was that when you do that, when you participate in something that's a lie, it impugns your integrity. It is a false witness. And I see that all over with these politicians who are still supposedly, oh, it's good to open. It's, you know, Florida's open, Texas is open. Then why are they still wearing a mask? It makes me not want to trust whatever they say. And, you know, it affects our witness when we are out in the public and not wearing a mask and explaining why we're not. You cannot mix evil with good. And when you know the truth, and we know the truth about that, it's, again, time to say stop participating in a lie. I don't care, you know, if you call yourself a Christian, you need to stand for the truth. And if you are not strong enough to stand against wearing a mask, what are you going to do when they come to your door and say, oh, now you have to take a vaccine to fly, to work at your job? So,
That's on the fast track, Abby, as you and I have talked before. It's on the fast track. If you bow and submit and bend to the government's edict to shut the church doors, close the church, to say that the churches cannot have singing in the church or chanting as they have stated in their orders on the West Coast, to say that the church cannot have more than 10 people to 20 people to 25 people, the church cannot have Bibles to be on display and or people to handle, or songbooks. Yep. If you bow to that, then you're going to bow when the government at a later time says you've got to simply close the churches down completely. And I believe that we're on the fast track for that today. And that's what concerns me, is the silence in the pulpits.
And if you are a Christian, what are you doing being part of that? So I'm with the pastor who called before. It's time to stand up. Speak out. What have you got to lose? This world is not our home.
That's right.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much for your call, Abby. Thank you for your comments. You're right on target. In fact, I'm looking at an article. Most have heard the name. Some have not. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the pastor that stood up against Hitler and became a martyr for his faith. Let me just read you a blurb or two from it. Some of you know the story. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, let me just give you a little pre-introduction to reading a few words from this article about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He took a stand against Adolf Hitler. All the other pastors, hear me, all the other pastors in Germany were simply bowing and bending and praising Hitler, preaching good words and good messages for him and about him. In fact, I'm looking at another article that said the time is fulfilled for German people of Hitler. It is because Hitler that Christ, God, the helper and redeemer, has become effective among us. Hitler is the way of the Spirit and the will of God for the German people to enter the Church of Christ. So spoke German pastor Hermann Grüttner. Another pastor put it more succinctly, Christ has come to us through Adolf Hitler. That was the approach that was taken in Germany, where all of the pastors were groveling at the feet of Hitler and praising him. But one man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said no. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the well-known Protestant theologians of the 20th century, an activist and anti-fascist, a man who had extraordinary personal courage, who was executed in the German concentration camp for a few weeks before German surrender. Bonhoeffer supported the Christians that Christians should pray and live for others in this world and to behave well, demonstrating their faith. When it came clear that Hitler intended to use German church in his own purposes, Bonhoeffer went to London and became the English pastorate member. He refused to recognize the public church when he became the instrument of Hitler's politics and supported the establishment of confessional church. Bonhoeffer became a service agent, counterintelligence service agent, as well as a courier for the communication with foreign organizations in Sweden and Switzerland. When the plot failed, according to the military tribunal, the verdict of Bonhoeffer was executed April the 9th, 1945. Because Bonhoeffer stood, it cost him his life, but he stood for Christ. He stood for the church. He stood for the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're coming to the day. If the rapture tarries, that Christians standing for truth and standing courageously for our liberties that's been given to us by God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that it will cost our lives. You might say, well, that's a little harsh. You might say, well, I don't believe that it will go that far. But ladies and gentlemen, it's on the fast track for that today. On the fast track. Here's an article that says, Pastor pays the price to see Germany's spiritual revival. Those who refuse to compromise on the teachings of Scripture will pay a price. Bremen Pastor Lutzel knows full well there's a cost for speaking out boldly, especially in today's Germany, where traditional Christian teaching is viewed as many as bigoted, hateful, and even unchristian. Lutzel, that's L-A-T-Z-E-L, has been attacked in the media, investigated by the local government, even denounced by his fellow pastors. His crime, refusing to bend a knee to political correctness in Germany. No compromise, he said. I'm only preaching the gospel in a clear way, Lutzel said. I think it's my duty to do this preaching in the way that is approved by God. Lutzel said the chief battle in German churches today is now over who is God. According to the Latchell, some pastors have said Allah and Jesus and the Christian church and the Christian God are the same gods. He says, quote, but if you ask a Muslim, does your God have a son? He would say no, he continued. Our Christian God has a son. His name is Jesus Christ, and they are not the same. If you speak out loud and clear about the truth of the Bible, that there's only one way to heaven, and this way is Jesus Christ, and there's only one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there's no other God beside him, then you have a problem, this pastor said. And he goes on to say, 70 German pastors gathered in Bremen this year to denounce Latzel, that is the pastor that's taken a stand, behind a banner celebrating diversity. The public prosecutor investigated him for hate speech and then cleared him, and Bremen Parliament passed a resolution against him. But far from backing down, Latzel said, the real problem is that, in his estimation, most pastors in German state church today have not been born again. Quote, I think over 80% of the pastors in the national church in Germany today are not born again, he said, and that's a great problem. And because of this, they make their own doctrine. The Bible is the word of God. It's our law, chapter by chapter, book by book, sentence by sentence, letter by letter. This is one sign that you are on the right way in your preaching, he said. When you get problems, Latzel said, if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, everyone is clapping his hands, then you have a problem. Because if you're telling the truth from the Bible, the devil will come and he will fight against you in several ways. He will fight against the word of God and the way of God as you preach. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about no compromise. We're talking about not being silent. We cannot be silent any longer. The Bible is very, very clear of what they would have us to do. The people in the church will never be, one person said, the people in the church, the Christians in the pew, will never be any stronger in the word of God than they find in the pulpit, end quote. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, docimos, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that word study means diligently, laboriously exert energy, put forth effort. And to be approved, to be a docimos, is the antithetical. It's opposite of being a docimos. It means that our approval, ladies and gentlemen, as pastors, preachers, teachers, Christians, our approval is to come from God and not from government. Our approval is God saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I believe that's what we need to seek. And stop being silent. Stop compromising, standing for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.